Welcome to the Gautrain Talks podcast station, the place to be for all matters related to the Gautrain and how it came to be South Africa's first ever rapid rail link. In studio today, Ms. Siam Tanda Ntlakuse, the Gautrain Management Agency specialist in the fields of commercial management and socio-economic development. It's a position she's held for the past 3 years, having previously worked on a number of Gautrain projects, largely due to a BSc honours qualification in quantity surveying that included working as a QS on the construction of additional parking facilities at the Midrand, Rhodesfield and Centurion stations and the extension of the platform at Gautrain's OR Tambo International Airport Station. Ms. Ntlakuse, welcome. Let's start with how those Gautrain projects you worked on previously prepared you for this role at the GMA.
So when I started working on the project, obviously, I worked for a company called Turner & Townsend as a quantity surveyor stroke cost manager. We were employed for the quantity surveying services, cost management, contracts management, including the assurance and oversight on the project itself. When I joined the project, initially, I was only anticipating the quantity surveying related works, only to find out that there was this special role which included this oversight over this economic development regime. So getting introduced, first of all, it was my introduction into the working world itself, which was then an introduction into the economic development space. What was nice about it was that we sat on the side of assurance and managing and making sure that the contractors are actually achieving and meeting their obligations. So because you're sitting as a consultant, you're sitting on the outside looking in, it actually gave me insight in terms of what are we actually looking at when we're trying to see or what are we trying to achieve with economic development, not only in the Gautrain project, but as a broader mandate of the government of South Africa. So, for example, one of the things that I actually gained out of the project is the importance of the having a monitor on the project that verifies. So as part of my role, we would then have to check that when the contractor submits the claimed achievement against these targets, that one, it actually meets the criteria, two, that they can actually claim against those particular obligations as an achievement for that particular period. By the time I got to the Gautrain Management Agency, I literally hit the ground rolling because not only did I have the foundation of it, I worked on the parking extension project, but also I got to work as a project manager, program manager on the procurement of additional rolling stock projects. There we had to set our consultants, specific consultants, that were setting up those targets and thresholds. But I got to be involved because I managed that work stream. So by the time I got there, one part was I learned how to manage it. Then I got exposure into how do you actually set those thresholds, which is effectively what I'm doing now at the Gautrain Management Agency on the economic development side of things.
Well, let's unpack that role a bit further now. Can you give us a bit more detail on that role at GMA at the moment?
So the role in its entirety, one part includes the commercial management, the contracts management, which is the project effectively. So it's your governance oversight over projects. And then in terms of economic development, one, there's the element that looks at the economic development obligations that are in the contract itself. So because the Gautrain was the first of its kind, it's got pretty much a bespoke SED regime that was set for the contract. And at the time, you had to set these forward-looking commitments without necessarily a benchmark for you to set against. So it's important for us. So as part of the PPP structure, you have to demonstrate value for money, et cetera, and economic empowerment. So for us, it's important that we are able to demonstrate that there is true economic empowerment that's coming out of the Gautrain project. So on an monthly basis, quarterly basis, we get these reports from the concessionaire, which we go through. It's effectively how much they've spent and how much they're claiming to say we've developed so-and-so or this particular organization, and we therefore feel that we should get some recognition for whatever spend it is. Then over and above that, I then sit with the independent socioeconomic monitor. They basically report into our unit, and just to make sure that they do an independent verification of these achievements, but also that they then report independently to both parties. So that's the one part which looks at the CA as it is, the concession agreement as it is. Then the second part is in relation to new projects. We've mentioned the parking facilities, we've mentioned the additional rolling stock projects. So the nice thing about the CA as we have it currently is it makes room for variations, what we call variations. So it's any amendment to the specification of the concession agreement as it is. And because we take pride in the ED regime, it's not only something that we did to get the project passed through. It's actually something that we're passionate about. So any contract that literally gets tendered out of the Gautrain Management Agency through these variations, we literally sit and say, can we apply the economic development regime on this project? One, to what extent can we actually apply this regime on these particular projects? So for any new projects, we literally have to go through that process. Obviously, there's a bit of work that goes into it because you have to first understand that it is possible for these guys to actually meet these targets and these thresholds that you're effectively setting for them. So, for example, when we did the procurement of additional rolling stock, we did a massive study in terms of what is the current capabilities, for example, on township-based supplies. That took us about close to a year because you literally have to gather data. We engage with business hubs. We engage with the actual businesses to say, where are you now? But not only that, where are you intending to go in the next couple of years? So that helps us to try and assess who can we incorporate in the chain currently, but also long term when we're planning for network extensions, it helps us to set more realistic thresholds in terms of what are the requirements going to be.
Let's take a step back now and just explore the concept of socioeconomic development. And firstly, what is your understanding of it? And secondly, how does it then relate or feed into your current role?
So socioeconomic development itself, it's a regime that's entrenched in our concession agreement. So it's effectively focused at appointing and upskilling and transferring skills to historically disadvantaged individuals. So it in essence looks at your woman empowerment. It looks at your black people empowerment. It looks at your people with disabilities empowerment. So what we've done is we've literally taken the total investment portfolio of the Gautrain project and we literally split it to say what can actually be contributed towards developing these different spheres of groups of people and this group of entities to actually make sure that they can be incorporated in the food chain and developed not only for the Gautrain project, for the broader scheme of things in terms of the country, but also to try and bring up businesses that are able to compete on an international basis and international benchmark as well.
We are still with Ms. Siam Tanda in Tlakuse, exploring the issue of socioeconomic development on the Gautrain project. Let's drill down a bit further now and get a bit more background, Ms. Tlakuse, on the SED requirements for the Gautrain project. What has been put in place and what targets have been set?
So the SED regime itself is split into approximately, I think it's six categories in total. So it looks at your equity participation. This is effectively the structure itself of the different entities. So in the case of the current concession agreement, it looks at the structure of the concessionaire, the structure of the operating company. So it looks at the shares that are held by black people, shares that are held by BBBEE. The second category is procurement and subcontracting. This has largely got to do with our spend and how we procure, not only how we as Gautrain procure, but how our subcontractors procure. So the Bombela Concession Company, how do they procure? Who are they procuring to? Do they meet the definitions of HDIs as we have actually put them in the concession agreement itself? It looks at procurement from and to BEEs, to black persons, and to any new BEEs. So when you speak of new BEEs in the context of our CA, it was companies that were specifically developed for the purpose of the project. So there's going to be a continuous spend, whether it's in operating costs and maintenance costs and the initial capital portion of it as well. So that's the second component. The third looks at local content, which is your employment of local people. So obviously we looked at making sure that people are getting employed on the system. This is during the construction period, but also during the operating period as well. It looks at the use of plant and equipment, local plant and equipment. There's generally that view that the Gautrain is this international train that was just bought in and placed on our tracks, which is not the case. So as far as possible, we always try and ascertain first, can we actually procure the material locally, plant locally, anything that we can do locally we make that an obligation that it must be done locally. We look at participation in management positions, so opening up opportunities for women and HDIs to sit in management portfolios of these businesses. We look at direct employment, so specifically HDIs that are employed. We look at women that are employed and people with disabilities. This is a key thing that government is now looking into. Obviously, with the discrepancies between people who are actually graduating versus people who are actually getting employed. So what we do is we actually make it an obligation that aside from employing HDIs, we want to see you employing women, but we want to see you employing people with disabilities as well. And then lastly, it looks at training. So training effectively bridges the gap. You've got people who are ready to be incorporated in the food chain. You've got students who are ready to be employed, but then you've got the people who are in between. They're not quite there yet. They need to be trained to be to be part of the food chain. And what we do effectively is we make it an obligation, whether it's through how the companies do it is it's up to them. They basically give us proposals. But what we want to see is we want you to see you training women. We want to see you training youngsters. We want to see people actually growing out of their involvement with the Gautrain project.
So those are the SED requirements on the Gautrain project. But what measures have been put in place to achieve SED targets specifically on the Gautrain project?
So one part is we've made it a contractual obligation. So it's not optional that it's actually something you want to do or you don't want to do. It's an obligation that we've got a penalty and reward regime that's actually attached to it. So meeting the obligations is your bare minimum. You have to meet them. But also they get rewarded for if they actually exceed these obligations. I spoke earlier on to say that the Gautrain project was the first of its kind. So to a certain degree, some of the targets we're actually picking up now that, okay, maybe we could have set this target slightly higher. But what's more important for us is what are we trying to achieve with the regime itself? And for us to try and get the concessionaire to maximize on the empowerment to these groups of people, we've actually set a penalty and reward regime. It's a very stringent regime. So if you don't meet your performance targets, it can go anything into the millions.
So it's a financial penalty.
It's a financial penalty, effectively, and it's the same with the reward regime as well. If they achieve their obligations and their targets, and they overachieve by about 20%. Then we start having a sharing mechanism in terms of the passenger fees, if I can call it like that. So we've put this regime, one, it's a contractual obligation, which makes it an obligation on the concessionaire, but also we've made it an extra incentive to the concessionaire to actually try and maximize the empowerment, not only just meet the obligations itself.
And you feel that financially, whether it's a penalty or an incentive, do you think that's the most effective measure?
So currently, it seems to be working very much for us. I think what's important is in setting up a concession structure is getting the understanding and the buy-in from your concessionaire. So having managed the SED regime not only for the past 3 years, but the beauty is how they've also adopted and absorbed the search. So they're not only driven by the reward and penalty regime, but it's actually saying that they also want to see this empowerment.
It's a change
actually
in culture.
Taken. Yeah, it's literally a change in culture. But the only way you can actually achieve that is if you bring them on board in terms of this is what we're trying to achieve. When you've got buy-in, it makes it that much easier.
You happy at the moment that you have that buy-in?
Yeah, definitely happy that we've got that buy-in. If I could, I'd show you most of our obligations are literally, they've been overachieving since the development period. They're not only meeting obligations, but they're continuously overachieving. We continuously engage with them as well, even from their side, stemming from their side, where they're saying, okay, how can we, if it's not possible to meet a particular criteria, how can we reword it to actually reach the broader team, if I can put it like that, to not exclude people. And an example of this we recently saw where they were saying that the DTI requirements that have recently have changed one of our definitions, and it's effectively kicking out a few of the suppliers that could be incorporated. So they meet the DTI definitions, but they don't necessarily meet the Gautrain definitions. And that was something that came up with them to say, we're missing out on a lot of people that we could be empowering. And that's something that we continuously engage with them on.
Let's look now at something slightly different but related. What has been the role of the independent socioeconomic monitor? And is this common practice on projects such as the Gautrain project?
So the independent socioeconomic monitor, it's a party that's employed by both of us jointly. So when I say us, the province as well as the concessionaire. we call it the ESAM, if I may. The ESAM is basically tasked with verifying that these achievements are actually, they're actually achieving. One of the biggest challenges with socioeconomic development is generally targets are set and there's achievement that is claimed and you don't really see the benefit. So, for example, you look at issues with fronting, where you've got businesses that claim, I've actually spent on business A and thereby developing this black woman. When you actually follow the funds, you realize that the person didn't really even get the financial benefit that's associated with the position. So what we've done is we went out on tender, open tender. We got this particular entity called Seriti, and they, on a monthly basis, they visit the Bombela offices, the concessionaire as well as the operator. They look at what's the obligation that has been set for that particular month or for that particular target. They get any and all supporting documents. So to the extent where there's limitations in terms of your access to information, they won't leave with the information, but they are given full access to the information. The ESAM goes through this information. They go through all financial records to make sure that you're actually spending the money the way that you said you're spending the money, and the people that you said would benefit out of it are actually benefiting out of that spend. So this happens on a monthly basis. They report to both entities on the issue monthly reports, but we have quarterly meetings with them to see where are we currently with our economic development regime.
Now, you've mentioned fronting as one of the challenges in your position as it relates to SED, but what about some of the other challenges you've experienced as it relates to SED on the Gautrain project?
So one part is I spoke about Gautrain being the first of its kind. It's benchmarking data. So for us at the time when the project itself was set, we didn't really have a benchmark. So one of the challenges is effectively, how do you know whether these thresholds and these targets that you're setting, are they really realistic in the absence of anyone having done what you're currently doing? The second part is I spoke about the acceptance of the socioeconomic regime. This is not only, I spoke about the concessionaire adoption, but there's entities, let's say, where you get a contractor, a civil works contractor that walks on site and they're here to build a parking facility and you say, hold up, this is actually what we want you to do. For them, it's generally viewed as an administrative nightmare. It's viewed as just this extra frustration that you're introducing to the project, and you actually need to start again that whole process of adoption and embracing of these economic development obligations. It's always very easy for them to say, this thing is not possible. I can't find the right black woman. I can't find a young person to actually train. And that's the importance of actually making sure that you do your homework before to say, no, we know that's actually there are people that you can actually develop. We've developed partnerships with the DTI as well, where we engage regularly with them, especially where we find that it's not possible for us to meet even their obligations that they've set. In the case of the additional rolling stock procurement, the EMU itself is a designated component. But because the Gautrain is so specific and so it's different from general rail, it's an EMU, the first of its kind in South Africa, we actually couldn't achieve the designation component that was set by the DTI. But what we did, instead of going to them and saying, look, there's no chance we're going to do this, we said, this is what is possible. We're trying as far as possible to achieve it. But then we said, currently designation looks at procurement only. But what we are actually doing is we're setting forward-looking components. So you're not only benefiting from the procurement part of things, you're benefiting from the operations and maintenance aspect as well. So long-term, if you look at our regime, and it's been accepted, the DTI, the treasuries, etc., our regime, because it sets forward-looking commitments and not only looking at procurement currently, it gives more benefit to the economy than just the obligations that are linked to the projects. I think lastly, it's when you set your economic development regime, it's paying attention to the wording of the regime itself. You largely get to test the effectiveness of your contractual obligations in the operating period. One of the challenges that we've picked up is in definitions that we've put in the CA itself, where you start saying, okay, that's not what I really intended. This was the intent. So it's making sure that when you set up that whole regime, you think through, how am I going to measure this thing? How? What am I looking for? What detail? What document am I going to be looking for? And then making sure that what you've written in the document mirrors what you're trying to, what you intend to achieve with it, but it's actually a measurable criteria.
Now, within those challenges you've identified, obviously plenty of learnings. Any other learnings in addition to that you've had from being involved in the SED position at Gautrain?
So it's effectively those, what it's an ongoing journey. Our operating period, for us, it's a long period, but it's still fresh because you're only picking up now what are actually the challenges with the regime, if I can put it like that. Especially the biggest challenge being the definitions, the abbreviations, etc. I think for us mostly that's the first thing. I think in terms of learnings, it would be one, proper planning. Economic development is not something that you wake up and say, oh, that's the popular thing that's happening right now. We actually want to partake in it. I've spoken about making sure that the obligations and thresholds that you are setting, that they are actually realistic. For you to do that, you need to plan for economic development. You need to see who's out there, who can do what currently, but not only looking at businesses in terms of where they are now, but looking at where they want to go long term. One of the things that we'd like to look into from an economic development regime is an incubation program, for example, whether it's set up by Gautrain or it's an incubation program where we partner with existing incubators. But what we're saying is, this project cannot always, for the rest of its life, remain this, it's the first of its kind project. We need to get to a point where we can literally absorb people into the food, into the chain itself of how we're running our procurements. So linked to that, it's the market studies that need to be done to understand your market, to understand its capabilities and what you can actually get out of it. Always consider what you get from new stakeholders. I'd say maybe twice a year, I'll get requests from whether it's the Treasury or the Department of Transport to say, hey, we actually want to now get more detail on who are these black people that are involved. And you're like, oh, but there was never an obligation in the concession agreement. And generally, especially if it's administrative in nature, the requirement, you struggle to then get the concessionaire to provide you the information, especially because you need to consider the pages, you need to consider the pyres, et cetera, So I think the other thing that I would have learned is consult and consider your stakeholders. If you're looking at media, what sort of information is the media going to be looking for? What sort of information is government going to be looking for? So consider all your stakeholders to say, okay, I'm setting a requirement that will enable me to cater for all my stakeholders. Pay critical attention to your definitions. How you structure, I've exhausted that topic quite a bit, but especially your definitions and your abbreviations. Consider exactly how you want to measure it. What documents do you want to get for them to actually demonstrate that they actually comply? Because it's easy for them to say, here's a document, comply. But for the person who needs to assess it, if the detail is not there, it becomes a challenge because they say, but I've met your obligation. So consider what documents you actually want. And lastly, it's the importance of the SED monitoring. It's not only SED and economic empowerment is not only just spending money. It's true economic empowerment. Economic empowerment to people, economic empowerment to businesses, so that they're not totally dependent on the Gautrain. You want them to actually be able to partner with other businesses, partner with other entities to deliver the services.
Ms. Ndlakuze, thank you for your time and your input. We value your insight and your learnings from that Gautrain project. You've been listening to Siam Tanda Ndlakuze, the Gautrain Management Agency's specialist in the fields of commercial management and socioeconomic development. She's been exploring the field of socioeconomic development with us, as well as how it relates to the Gautrain project and some of her learnings in this space. To listen to this and other interviews about the Gautrain, please tune into our podcasts at Gautrain Talk Station. You can also access further material on our website, www.gautrain.co.za, or follow us on Twitter.